Well, hey, good morning, family. Let's stand together as we get ready to worship the Lord this morning. Happy Mother's Day.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Good morning, family. Good to see you all, and happy Mother's Day again. Man, can we praise the Lord for the mothers in the room? It is good to be with you all. We're going to continue to worship together this morning. We're going to lift up this hymn together. Christ, you alone are cornerstone. Let's worship together.
I dare not trust the sweetest.
righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Amen. And so this morning we are going to be just kind of singing about this concept of the foundation that we have in Christ Jesus. And so, I don't know, probably many of you do actually know this, but some of us may not. The verses of Cornerstone are pulled from a hymn. And the chorus of that hymn says, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand." You guys remember this? "All other ground is sinking sand." Jesus makes the only claim to be our only way to heaven. He makes the claim to be our only way to heaven. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." This morning, family, we are just being reminded by the songs that we're singing, but also by the truths of God's word, that we stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. That is the only foundation that we can stand on in this ever-changing world. Let's lift our voices together to worship our God, our firm foundation.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my faith on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. Thank you.
Jesus, our Savior. I believe in God, our Father. I believe in Christ, the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again.
Father, and that this morning we trust in you. We can trust in you if someone hasn't made that decision yet this morning. Lord, they can today know that they are trusting in the firm foundation, so that when everything around us goes crazy, and sometimes it does, that we can rest in the promises of Romans, that all things work together for good to those that love you. Lord, we can rest in the truth that we will one day see you face to face. We can rest in the truth that you are sovereign and loving and perfect and good. God, this morning we pray that you would deepen our security, deepen our stance in the firm foundation of your word as we hear your word this morning. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. Pray all this in Jesus' name.
Good morning, church family. My name is Pastor Chris. I am associate pastor for family ministry here. And young people, it is time to go to Sunday school. So follow your leaders on out there. Thank you, leaders, for what you're doing. Thank you for the mentoring and nurturing that you're showing these young people. There was one point, I think, when Kenny was talking, and we could just hear a chorus of young voices in the background, and may that never change here. It's awesome. Beautiful. So let me be the second to say we have something to celebrate today. So happy Mother's Day. Who's got a mother out there? Come on. Come on. Raise that hand. All right. So we really are just reminded today of God's provision and care that he has put in the hearts of women to just nurture and care for us. I'm reminded of a verse in 2 Timothy that really just shows the role that you have in that women have in the lives of young people everywhere. This is Paul talking about Timothy's background. So Paul, Timothy's spiritual father, talking about something biological in his life, and I think we can connect a few of those dots today. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 says, "I thank God whom I serve as I did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day," talking to Timothy. "As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith." And I think of these little ones running out as I say this. May this be the vision that we have. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." And then I think of the larger role of all of the spiritual moms in this congregation and all the different ways that we serve our young people. Paul says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And so may the mothering and the nurturing and the diaper changing and the face wiping, but also the sacrificial showing up every week on Wednesday nights, what some of you have been privileged to do in the classroom, what you as aunts and grandmoms and just even just big sisters and whatnot, that loving influence. My prayer, when we bring up a topic like mothering, it's sensitive because we all have different backgrounds and not everyone brought a picture of vibrancy or health with their story from their family as they were growing up. But praise God that he put in the hearts of women everywhere that desire to take care and to nurture. Whether God has blessed you with a child or whether God has just blessed you just to be surrounded by a church family where you have so many people to pour into. This world would be really lame if it was just a bunch of guys. So we really appreciate you ladies. So give mom a call. Do something redemptive. Maybe, and really, as I'm turning the page a little bit, to also not just focus on the we talked a few weeks ago about the Great Commission component that is embedded in mothering, right? That the kingdom of God rolls forward just in the quiet moments that no one will ever see as you take care. But spiritual moms out there, and I know many of you, when I say that word, can identify. A woman pops in your mind, men and women alike in the congregation. When I talk about the idea of a spiritual mom, maybe there's someone you could call and thank that did not even give birth to you. Maybe it's someone who's invested in your kids. Maybe it's someone who invested in you. And maybe your faith today, just like Timothy's faith, rests on the shoulders of someone who nurtured you along the way. So, yay moms, yay moms. Let's pray about that for a moment, and maybe just God would lay on your heart someone who you can encourage for the role they've had in your life, in addition to the woman you call mom today. Father, we are grateful, Lord, that this world is not gruff and undecorated, and Lord, that there you have filled the earth with image bearers that just know what it means and are just called by their nature to be tender and, Lord, to heal wounds and to field emotions and to feel that emotion with the people in their lives when they're hurting. Lord, we thank you for the moms in the room. We celebrate that. Lord, we thank you for the moms to be. And Lord, we also just ask for the people in the room who are yearning for that role in their life, but Lord, it has not happened yet. Father, we pray alongside them that they would also know the joy. Father, in all this, we trust in you. We trust in the stories that we brought into the room, the scar tissue, the Lord, even the stories where you have said no, and we trust you, Lord. But we pray that this would be a family where there are not just, where one every person doesn't just have one mom, but they have other people in their lives that are spiritually nurturing them, that are also caretaking after their heart. Thank you for what we have here, Lord, at Perry Hall. Thank you for the moms you blessed us with. And thank you for those moments that we can't even remember where someone held us when we were helpless in their arms and said, I will protect you. I will clothe you. I will feed you. I will teach you. How pleasing to your soul is that? Jesus, may you be honored the rest of the service as we open up your word and we're reminded that you actually spoke these words into existence, God. This isn't just a recording, Lord. These are your words. And so may we treat them as such. May you transform our hearts as we look at your word today. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, got a few things to share with you. First of all, we have not done a good job lately of this. So there's these fancy little themed cards in front of you. This is a great way to get in touch with us. If you're visiting here today, I would love to meet you. Pastor Dave would love to meet you at the end of the service. We've got some containers on the sides of the sanctuary, one in the back too, that if you fill this out, if you have a prayer request, if you have a concern, if you have a question, if we just haven't met you yet, and we would love to have your email and phone number so we could just keep communicating with you and send you newsletters and stuff like that. But this is a great way, the Connect card, to do that. Whether it's your first Sunday here or it's your 100th, this is a good way to really just let us know what's on your heart. And I would like to tell you about, can we get the announcement slides up as I pull out my little reminder sheet here of a few things that are coming up. We have graduations are among us. Some of you have already been to a graduation. If you have a college graduation, high school graduation is coming up in a few weeks. And one of my favorite little sweet moments each year is where we get to see the faces of our young people, maybe even not so young people for some of you finishing graduate school and whatnot, parade before us, and we get to honor their accomplishments and what God is doing with their minds and their training. So if you're at a milestone, high school, college, grad school, maybe you finished a certificate of some sort, you know, a professional certificate, and you want people to know, or more importantly, if someone you love wants us to know about that. Will you please email a picture of that to Lori so we can advertise that by May 22nd. So that's by next week. Another couple of things. Do we have the superheroes next or is it the well? What do we got? It's the well. All right. We are having, the well is having a volunteer training session. Not tomorrow, but the following Monday, May 22nd from 5:30 to 7:30 down in Curtis Bay. And so if you've been kind of interested, like, hey, how can I get plugged in? What's going on there? That is clearly a ministry that is meeting people right where they're at and loving them and just modeling Christ in the hearts of some people who are overcoming adversity in their life. That's for you. And I'm sure they will have a lot of ways to plug in. And finally, we are high in camp season, and I'll just hit it real quick. We would love for you to know that we are having a superhero camp this summer, the last full week of July. And we are going to fill up Camp Womie 2 with, Lord willing, about 100 young people, and we are going to sing our lungs out, and we are going to preach the gospel, and we are going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to eat a lot of junky food, and it's going to be fantastic. And there's going to be pillow fights, and kids will stay up too late, and a lot of rules broken along the way, but we're going to make some memories, and we're going to make some testimonies in the process. So Mountaintop Bible Camp, sign up on the way. Best week of the summer. There's info in the newsletter and on our website. And now I get to exhale and offer up the pulpit to our senior pastor, Dave Moyer, who's going to come and preach the word. It is good to be with you. Love you guys a lot.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. And good morning, Perry Hall. I didn't know when we were leaving Matthew after all those years, and then in the First Thessalonians, and I knew First Thessalonians was going to be this wonderful study for us, but I had no idea that we were going to come to this little passage in First Thessalonians chapter 2 that was going to have such an impact in my life. That's where I'd ask you to turn, First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And so I have though I didn't know it in advance, decided that we've made this a little three-week mini-series on this section. That's, again, 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 16. I will say that one of my dear friends here at Perry Hall, who loves me very much, and he's very faithful to our church, he has noticed in his mind that I am, because I'm losing some weight, that I'm slipping. And he has been picking up on things that demonstrate that because of the weight loss, I'm not able to think clearly. And he's been pointing it out every week. Now, the truth is, he has not found any ways that I'm slipping, but I think he's trying to be funny. But last week, I was sharing a little bit about my testimony, and I said that the word that would describe me before becoming a follower of Christ, the word that really hit me, it was Christian. And I explained what I meant by that, Christian. That yes, Christian is a good term, but sometimes we're confused by it. And that's why we use disciple or follower, because I was a Christian in name only. And I shared all of that last week, that you can be a Christian, meaning going to church and doing all these wonderful things doesn't make you a Christian. I was one of those. I said the thing that God used, so that was a one word to describe me before coming to know Christ at the heart level. The second thing I said, there was one word that God used to change my whole life, radically transform my life, one word. And I said the word. And he said, see, you're slipping. That is two words. The word is two words. Yes, it is. But if he had any sense, what I was trying to say is word, as in scripture, the definite article, word. So this is the kind of things you put up with when you have the opportunity to share. And so Chris and I are, we welcome it and we enjoy it, but we know that something's coming. The word changed my life from somebody that was a Christian in head only, doing all these wonderful things. The word of God changed my life. So as you can imagine, I am passionate, and we've said it over and over, for the word. And here we come to 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 16. And you can see we've entitled this little mini-series, God Speaks. We've divided this mini-series into 5 points. Last week was point number one, God speaks. This week, maybe point two and three. We'll cover maybe four and five next week. Point number two, the word is welcomed. Last week was God speaks. This week, the word is welcome. Point number two. Point number three, lives are transformed. Lives are transformed. So that's what we'll cover this week. We did God speaks last week. The word is welcome. Lives are changed. Next week, we'll talk about opposition and giving thanks. Let's now read that passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews. They did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at the last, at last. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. You are speaking. Lord, and we want to hear you. We want to receive your word. We want to accept it as the word of God, not from men, but as the very word of God. And our prayer is, Father, that you would bless the reading, the preaching, the understanding, and the applying of your word this morning. Father, I believe that each person here this morning is here by the work of your divine providence. And we're here for this moment in history, in the history of our lives especially, Lord, to hear your word. And Father, our prayer is that it would be welcomed and it would accomplish its purpose and we would be changed. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' precious name, amen. As we begin our time together looking at the word as welcomed, I'd like to pause and go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Amos, and I'll give you a minute to get there. The book of Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 8. So in Amos chapter 8, we hear this message that is as timely to us today as it was then. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. The Lord God says, I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. Now get this. But of hearing the words of the Lord. The Lord will send a famine in the days of Israel's rebellion. It'll be a famine of the hearing of the word of God. For reasons known only to the Lord today, there is a famine in our land, a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. We have either neglected it completely, or we have made it fit our purposes and done some biblical gymnastics so that it fits what works for us. There are doctrines in Scripture that we no longer teach. There are things that at evil we now call good. There is a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. Last week, point number one, God speaks. God providentially had Chris read John 10:27, which was God's sheep hear his voice. I asked some questions from that and from the rest of the message last week and left you thinking before we'll move on to point two. Do you hear his voice? And maybe I should ask, is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? We're going to see this morning that there are evidences of hearing his word here and what it looks like in our lives. There are evidences of that. So the question stands, two questions. Are you one of his sheep and do you hear his voice? Then the other question we asked and kind of left this as a big takeaway from last week. Do you embrace the authority of the Word of God? Do you embrace the authority of the Word of God? Not simply do you read and hear the Word of God. Not simply do you have a high view of Scripture. But do you embrace enthusiastically the authority of God's Word over your life? Which areas of your life is the authority of the Word of God over you? Every area of your life. And do you embrace that authority, or you just say, Scripture's wonderful, it makes me feel good, sometimes I don't like what it says? Or is it the authority of your life? Has it impacted you? In this famine in the land, the source of that famine and why God may cause a famine of hearing is because we do not embrace its authority. We embrace it as his word, but not with his authority. And you could go back this week in your life and you will see examples where God's word is not the authority of your life. You'll see examples in the way you speak, in the way you live, the way you treat people, the way you forgive, the way you're offended or not offended, the way you submit to God's word, and on and on. These are clear examples if you embrace the authority of God's word. And when somebody comes to you or you see in Scripture a place that your life needs to change, if you're sitting under the authority of God's word, you say, oh Lord, change me. You hear that? If there's any area in my life or your life that is not in accord with God's word, I'm not living practically under the authority of his word, I say, oh Lord, change me. That is the point of God speaking authoritatively over our lives. And we discussed last week that that gospel, that word that Paul preached, was the word of God, not the word of men. Let's now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 2. Back to 1 Thessalonians 2. They, in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2, we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. This is point two. God speaks in all that we just said. Point number two, the word is welcomed. The word is welcomed. In this, you will see two words that are very similar in verse 13. It says that what Paul is giving thanks for, that when you received, the word received, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us. Receive is the word that means to take, to receive, whether tradition or to receive something from somebody else. It's actually here is the same word that in Matthew 1:20, when Joseph takes Mary to himself, the angel says, take Mary. And it says Joseph took Mary to be his wife. He received Mary. John 1:12 says, to as many as receive him, to receive him. There is an objective receiving. And here, there is an objective receiving of the word. hearing the word and objectively assenting to the word. It's intellectual, it's objective. But it goes on. It's not only did they receive the word of God, which they heard. Yes, that word heard could be audible hearing. I think it means to be heard and understood is better. From us, that is Paul and his companions. It's interesting that we may struggle and say, well, this is Paul's word, not the word of God. Well, if you go to 2 Peter 3:14 to 16, we won't turn there now, but it'd be good homework, 2 Peter 3:14 to 16. And Peter, speaking of Paul's writing, says that Paul speaks and writes along with the other scripture. In other words, Peter puts Paul's writing on par with all scripture. This is the word of God through Paul and his companions, the apostle tradition. When you received the word of God, you took it in, you received it, something given to you objectively, intellectually, which you heard from us. Now the second word that seems similar, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. In other words, they heard it and they recognized that it was more than simply men speaking. They realized that they had heard the Thessalonians, they had heard other rabbis, they had heard false teachers, they had heard pagan priests, they had heard the voice of demons. But they now recognized that Paul was speaking the very word of God. He says it's not the word of anthropos, the word of men, but the word of theos, the word of God. This word accepted is different than to receive. This word accepted is the word that Jesus used in Luke 9:48 when they brought him a child, and it said the Lord took the child and accepted the child, received the child onto his lap. This word means not just received. This is the point number two. Received means welcomed or embraced. So let's follow it. God speaks through his word. His word is received. And then his word is welcomed. His word is welcomed. It is embraced. I like how Warren Wiersbe says the first part is that the word is appreciated, and then the word is appropriated. It is welcomed. He goes on to say later, as we'll get to next week, the word is applied. See, there is a receiving the word. You're hearing the word today. You hear my voice. You hear it in your language, most of us. And you hear it and you receive it. But there is more to be said when we welcome it. And to be welcomed requires the work of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll pick up verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Verse 6 says, yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed. I'm slowing down. I listen to lots of sermons during the week, and to get as many in as I can, I don't know if you all know how to do this. I learned recently I can put it on 2x the speed. So I can take 50 minutes to an hour sermon and listen to them in 25 or 30 minutes. And so it's rolling. I had a lot of that in my head as I fell asleep. I was listening to Alistair Begg with his wonderful accent go at 2 times. It seemed like mock speed, so I've got to slow down here and not read 2 times faster. Verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. We are looking at what it means to welcome the word and the absolute necessity of the Spirit's enlightening the mind and heart so that we understand. Verse 10 again. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. You hear, this is so important. It affects not only our understanding of the scriptures, but it affects our impact as we share Christ with our neighbors and our friends and our family, is that the Spirit must be at work to take it from simply being received to where it is welcomed and understood and lived out. Do you see that as the role of the Spirit? So when you run into deaf ears or a roadblock in sharing your faith, you have nothing to worry about, because it's up to God to get through the roadblocks, to get past the hindrances, to open the eyes of their mind and their hearts. That is the Spirit's work. And the great Caesarean confession that Peter makes in Matthew 16, you can jot this down, Matthew 16, verse 17. And Jesus says, when Peter says, you are the Christ. What does the Lord say? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but Father in heaven, God has revealed this to you. By his Spirit, he is revealed. So while we talk about the receiving, and everybody here can receive the word today, the real question is, do you welcome it? Do you welcome the authority of God's word when he speaks into your life, or does it wash off like on the, what is that, water off the duck's back, whatever it's supposed to be? It's like George Mueller, the great missionary who raised orphans, hundreds, thousands of orphans in London. He used to say, when the word is preached, it often goes through a pipe and out the other side, and it just flows through, and it makes no impact as it flows through. But as the Spirit is working and opening up and illuminating and enlightening the scriptures, we welcome the word of God. I hope you see the big difference between receiving and welcoming. When we think of it, you can go back to our text in 1 Thessalonians. Every word of my study opened up new pictures for me, opened up new places for me to confess. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, have I said that before? Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes, Lord, enlighten me, your Spirit, that I may see wondrous things from your law. So we not only have this idea of they received the word objectively, then they, when they heard it, And we remember Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then we have welcoming. And so let me see if I can say just a word about this idea of welcoming. What does that look like, Pastor, practically to welcome the word of God? Well, number one, I don't know how to do this because there's a lot of things that welcoming in Scripture can look, what it looks like. But let's just go through them slowly and you can jot the verses down as I mentioned them for your own review. Number one, when we welcome the word, we love it. We love his word. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love thy law." Maybe it's better, "Oh, how I love the law, your word." So I love it. 1 Peter 2:2, like babies when they desire the milk, we would say number two, we hunger for it. When we welcome the word, we love it and we hunger for it. Do you hunger for the word of God? Or is every time you open its pages for our infrequent quiet times, is it a chore? See, you're getting a picture of what it looks like. That is 1 Peter 2:2. Number three, live it. Love it, hunger for it, live it. Philippians 1:27, that your walk would be worthy of the gospel. We love his word, we hunger for it. Remember in the Old Testament, to use it in a different way, the hunger, Psalm 42, as the deer pants after the water or the brook. So my heart pants after you. There's that hunger. Matthew 5, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Number three, we live it. Philippians 1:27. Number four, when you welcome the word, you study it. You study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Study it. Search it, like the Bereans. Next, I'll run out of where I am, so I'm not giving numbers anymore. You do your own counting. Search it. Acts 17:11. What happened when the Bereans received the word? It says they searched the scriptures to see what they could find. If you are one that welcomes the word, you love it, you hunger after it, you live it, you study it, you search it. Next, you meditate upon it. You meditate upon it. You chew it up. Meditation, again quoting Wiersbe, meditation is to knowing, to living this Christian life or living the spiritual life. Meditation is to the spiritual life what digestion is to physical life. You meditate upon it. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law thou shalt meditate on day and night. Chew it up. Meditate it. Digest it. And then chew it up some more. Keep chewing it. Next, when you welcome his word, you memorize it. You memorize it. Psalm 119:11 said, I hid God's word in my heart. You know that one? Psalm 119:11. That's one to be memorized. If you're going to memorize scripture, memorize the scripture that tells you to memorize the scripture. I welcome God's word when I hear it. I receive it. The signs of my welcoming it is that I love it. I hunger for it. I live it out in my worthy walk. I study it. I search it. I meditate on it. I memorize it. I'm corrected by it. How's that one? Are you okay when you read the scriptures as if it corrects your life, your attitudes, your speech, your relationships, the way you do your work, the way you live your life in leisure? I was looking over, and I'll come back to this, I was looking over discipleship questions, questions that we should consider often as we grow as disciples. And it talked about, how's your quiet time? How's your prayer? How's your discipleship project? How's your witnessing, testimony, sharing? How are you? Is your thought life, your purity? And then it asked this one, and I go, uh-oh. It said, is what you put in front of your eyes nourishing your spiritual journey or hindering your spiritual journey? Folks, and by the way, when I said uh-oh, didn't mean I was watching anything horrible, just in case. But even some of the shows that are acceptable for adults, it made me think, is this really spiritually nourishing to me? What is it you put before your eyes? What movies are you watching? What entertains you? What books are you reading? How much time are you on the TV, internet, social media? I saw one of our friends here at Perry Hall put on Facebook, they just turned in their smartphone and got a flip phone because they said that would help them from the hindrances or the distractions. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe it'd be a good step. I show that I welcome his word, embrace it enthusiastically by loving it and living it and hungering after it and studying it and searching it and meditating upon it and memorizing it, being corrected by it. When the Lord speaks to us through his word, his spirit changes me if we're welcoming it. Or that must be antiquated. That can't be for today. Or that can't apply to this situation. Or maybe it doesn't apply to me, period. In addition to that, when we welcome his word, we exalt it. We praise it. We lift it up. We exalt his word. Psalm 138:2. I'm trying to give you verses for each one. Psalm 138:2. I exalt it. Why do I say I exalt his word? Because that's the call of our life, to exalt him and his word. We love it. But Psalm 138:2 says, the Lord himself exalts his name and he exalts his word. Exalts his word. Psalm 138:2. Last one, and we could keep going on. But Revelation 1:3 is, when we welcome his word, we embrace it, we keep it. We keep it. That would be said another way, we obey it. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy and hears them. And then it says this, and blessed is the one who keeps them. Keeps them. Remember the Great Commission, as Chris mentioned? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe all things I have commanded you. Teaching to obey. When we welcome God's word, we obey it. We obey it. That's a short list. I pray that God has spoken to you. You've heard him. You've received his word and you welcome it in such a way that maybe one last thought is it, that our mind is being transformed by it. Let's move on. That is to welcome his word. Point number three, God speaks. Point number one. Number two, God's word is welcome. Point number three, lives are changed. Back to the text, and we'll finish with this. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the words of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God. It is welcomed, received. Then at the end of verse 13 is where we begin point number three. This word that they've received and welcomed is at work in you believers. Now the preposition here, in you, is debated. It either in you gives the individual sense. Some translations say which is at work among you believers, which would be the collective sense. Both are true. If we take the totality of Scripture, there is a sense here which God's word that has been heard and received as the word of God, and it is welcomed and it is embraced enthusiastically, all of Scripture, not just the parts. Listen to this. Even 400 years ago, when they were putting together the catechisms, they made this comment in question number 4 about receiving the word of God. This is about the word being welcomed. How does it appear that the Scriptures are the word of God? The Scriptures manifest themselves to be the word of God by their majesty and their purity, by the consent of all the parts and the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God by their light and power to convince and convert sinners, to comfort and build up believers unto salvation. And then, as we've said earlier, but the Spirit of God bearing witness by and with the Scriptures in the heart of man is alone able fully to persuade it that they are the very words of God. Boy, I wish we still talk like that. For those that believe that, heard, received, welcomed the word of God, lives will be changed. I gave my testimony, the word, 2 words. The word changed my life. I think that people in this room will give testimony. See, if you bank your life on some feeling of change, if you're banking your life on some emotional experience you've had with the Lord, those cannot always be trusted. But if the security and the assurance of your life is because of the integrity of God found in His Word, no matter what happens in life, you're secure. Emotions will let us down. I'm not a Christian because I feel like the Bible's right or I feel like God is who He said He is. I'm a Christian because I know He is, based on the integrity of His Word. But now we come to lives are changed. There would be 2 points. I will do one quickly today, and next week we'll finish this one. The first one says, that which is at work, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. The word work there, energeo, a word we get energy from, means that God is working. Remember Philippians 2:13, it said it is both, verse 12 says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you. God who works in you. Ephesians 1:11, God, for His own praise and glory, is working. Same in Ephesians 3:20. Sometimes that word is activity. Sometimes that word is His empowering. Sometimes it is the word work. The Scriptures, folks, please listen. The Scriptures, when heard, received, embraced, welcomed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and always by the power of the Holy Spirit, accomplishes God's purpose in your life and in my life. That is a promise. Isaiah 55:11 says this, God's word will never return void or empty, but it was always going to accomplish its purposes or the purposes for which it was given. But it has to be received and welcomed. Then lives changed. Now, let's think of a little bit, and this will be our last section here. We looked at what does it mean to welcome the word. Now let's ask the question, what does it mean that it was at work in them? What does it mean that the welcome word is, practically speaking, what does it mean that the word is at work in you and me? Number one, under the way the word is working, it saved us. It saved us. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Since you have been born again, 1 Peter 1:23, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, or but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Hear this now, folks. You're saved. You have been regenerated. You received a new heart. If you are a follower of Christ and he is your Savior and your Lord, you've received him, know him, follow him. It is because of a transformation, a new life was given by the Spirit based upon the work of the Word. They heard it, received it, welcomed it, but the Word was working in regenerating them, number one. Number two, in sanctifying them. That's a big word. We don't use it as much anymore. Sanctifying means to be set apart, to be maturing, to be progressing in godliness, to look more like Jesus Christ. John 17:17 says that, sanctify them, Lord, by your truth. By your truth. So we are regenerated by it. We are sanctified by it. And then it causes us to bear fruit. When it is working in us, it has saved us, sanctified us, both positionally and we're set apart. And then in our lives, we start to live lives that look more like Christ. And this part, folks, this is just a beautiful picture of the power of the Word. And we see that God is changing us and transforming us with his Word. Here's another one. He guides us. Psalm 119, 105. Anybody know that one? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When he's working in us, I'm sorry, I didn't finish the fruit. That would come from, remember the parable of the soils? Some found on the hard ground, some on the rocky ground, some on the thorny ground. The hard ground, it didn't grow up, it never went into the ground. It was trampled. The rocky ground, it was choked. Or at least it never got enough moisture and nourishment. The thorny ground, the cares of the world, kept it from growing, but the good soil. And what does it say? That seed bore fruit. That seed bore fruit. He uses the word working in us to regenerate us, to sanctify us, to bear fruit in us, and to guide us. Number five, he uses his word to convict us, to correct us. He uses his word to correct us. 2 Timothy 3:16, not only does it teach us and train us for righteousness, but it rebukes us, it corrects us for righteousness' sake. We also see the way the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, bone and marrow, cutting. The word transforms us. Not only regenerates, sanctifies, bears fruits, guide us, corrects us, judges us, transforms us, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The last one I'll give as the word works in us. And let's close there by turning together to Isaiah 66:2, and we'll finish. Isaiah 66:2. Chris reminded me last week that it's been a couple weeks since I quoted from Isaiah. If you send me an email to the church address, my email is dmoyer@perryhallbaptist.org. dmoyer@perryhallbaptist.org. If you send an email to me as the director of the Maryland Bible Society, it'll be dmoyer@mdbible.org. Don't memorize all this stuff. for our purposes, D. Moyer, Pear Hill Baptist Church. I have a private email. It's private, but you're my family, so you get to know it. But I'm making a point. My private email, not for church necessarily, not for other ministries, my private email is dmoyer662. You thought I was going to say 666? My private email is dmoyer662@gmail. The 662. Isaiah 66:2. So now, even though I'm guilty of using too many favorite verses, this is in my top five. Isaiah 66:2. Listen to this, folks. I'll begin with verse 1. Thus says the Lord, Isaiah 66:1, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. By the way, if that doesn't say enough to say we should obey him, welcome his word, because it's all his. He's in charge. He owns everything. He's God Almighty. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? As if we could make a place that we could build for him. Look at verse 2. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. Now, folks, this is life-changing right here. When the word is welcome, lives change as the word works in us to regenerate and sanctify and bear fruit and guide us and correct us and to judge us. And here, verse 2, second part, this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit. And what is next? Trembles at my word. Oh, when the Spirit does this wonderful work of regenerating our hearts, and he allows us to receive the word and to be changed and to welcome it, and then he goes to work to change our lives through the ministry of his word. One of those ministries is he causes us to tremble. That's life changing. Oh, may the Lord be gracious to give us a greater desire and love for his word. May we welcome it in all the ways we said. And then may he continue to work in us as those he's already given new hearts, those he's changing in sanctification, those that he is enabling to bear fruit, those that he is guiding, those that he corrects, and those he judges. May we be people that tremble at his word. And I would ask you as we leave, do you tremble at his word? Or do we simply read it casually, sometimes flippantly, sometimes hurriedly? Or do I take enough time to memorize and meditate in all those things, studying it so that it will have its effect in my life? Let's pray. Our Father, we ask your word to have its way as it works powerfully in our lives. Father, may you take the people that you have regenerated, those that you're sanctifying, and may your word help us to bear fruit that brings glory to you and fame to the name of Christ. May you guide us and challenge us and correct us and teach us as the word does its work. But Father, maybe in a very perfect summary, may those that have received your word, have been illuminated by your spirit, have welcomed the word, and be impacted by its work in your spirit, may we tremble at your word. And may it have a God-honoring, Christ-exalting witness and testimony in a world where there is a famine for your word. We love you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us?
Upon your love, the
I was reading in a book about churches in Great Britain long ago, and it said that after the sermon was over, and the closing hymn and the closing prayer, that everybody would sit down. Don't worry, you're not going to catch you off guard. And listen, this is important. Everybody would sit down, and there'd be nothing but bowed heads in prayer, asking God to take what they just heard and impress it upon their minds and hearts, so that we didn't rush to the next person and start talking about what we had to do this day, or what's our busy schedule, or whatever. And all those things are fine. But there was a pause that God would impress upon our hearts what we've just heard. So while I won't make you do that at this moment, I will say, may you join me in praying to that end, that God would take what we just heard and it wouldn't go through like a pipe, but that we would receive and welcome it. One of the ways we welcome it, we show that we have welcomed it, is we share it, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and we proclaim it, 1 Thessalonians 1:8. We proclaim his word if we welcome it. You get an opportunity to be part of that. On Wednesday night, May 31st, that's 2 weeks from this coming Wednesday, Billy Graham has agreed to do a one-time post-event training here at Perry Hall Baptist Church. That's a Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Billy Graham's team will come in and teach us how to do a testimony. This is a gift to us. I don't care where you are in your walk. I don't care what you think you know or don't know. Now, listen, I can't make this mandatory because you wouldn't listen. You already, some of you struggle with membership enough and thinking this is like some sort of servitude. Listen, I can't make you come to this. But as your pastor, I'm just about begging you to come. Why? Because we need to scream from the mountaintops that Jesus is Lord and we love him, and so should you. Is that fair enough? So I am asking you to come for that training and bring both of your friends. And we will have more announcements for that. Last thing, and then I'll pray. When you leave, we have people at both doors, Carolyn, or just over here. Is there somebody over here? All the doors. This is unbelievable. For the men, they only do one door. So we have a gift for all the moms. Please, please enjoy that as you leave, as an expression of our love for you moms. Lord, as we leave here, may we take a pause sometime today, review our notes, or at least what we've heard. Lord, would your spirit not only give them to us as we receive the words today, but would you help us welcome them, and then you do your work in our lives through the ministry of the word. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.